Declaratory orders, that's a tool for regulatory agencies to use when they want to give an extra push to companies or industries they regulate. It's a tool agencies are hesitant to use because of their supposed finality and the agency's fear of subjecting itself to a judicial review of legally binding orders. The Administrative Conference of the United States, or ACUS, says agencies should increase their use of declaratory orders to provide clear directions for the regulated. Emily Bremer is an assistant professor of law at the University of Wyoming and former research chief of the ACUS. She tells Federal News Radio's Eric White more about declaratory orders and why the conference wants to see agencies use them more often.
Declaratory orders are documents that agencies can issue under 5 U.S.C. 554E, a provision of the Administrative Procedure Act. And it's a way of providing binding guidance to regulated parties in a way that doesn't impose sanctions and can help resolve regulatory uncertainty before parties undertake plans that may be subject to federal regulation. So it was actually the Administrative Conference that decided this was a subject that was ripe for a recommendation, and I am acting as the conference's consultant on the project.
So what do agencies typically use? You said that they haven't been using orders in a while. What do they use in place of them now?
The provision on declaratory orders was part of the APA as it was enacted in 1946. And at the time, the idea was to extend to administrative agencies a similar power that was extended to the federal courts in the Declaratory Judgments Act. But from the very beginning, agencies really didn't use them very frequently. One of the reasons was because it was long viewed as a technique or tool that was available only in the context of formal adjudications, which are conducted relatively rarely. And so most agencies chose instead to use informal, non-binding guidance documents to fill a similar role that declaratory orders would fill. The additional advantage from the agency's perspective for that was that non-binding guidance documents were not typically subject to judicial review, although in recent years courts have exhibited a greater willingness to challenge an agency's characterization of a document as non-binding and to exert greater judicial review over those documents. In addition, the courts in recent years have allowed agencies to issue declaratory orders through informal adjudications, which really just expands the availability of the device and makes it much more available for agencies that might be using informal guidance documents to fulfill similar purposes.
And when you say informal, does that just mean that it's not legally binding, or is it just just kind of a statement that they put out there and whoever the parties are affected by it have to just kind of go by those statements?
That's right. It's informal both in terms of the process that is used to issue it. I mean, guidance can include anything as basic as a phone call discussion with an agency, and it can go up to an interpretive rule that is issued in a documentary form. But, of course, there are all other kinds of memos and pamphlets and other types of guidance documents that agencies issue. But the primary legal distinction is that guidance documents are typically non-binding, and an agency can change its mind in an enforcement action and deviate from guidance it's previously issued. Whereas with a declaratory order, it's binding at least on the facts that are assumed in the order.
Is it just a sense of they don't want to lock themselves into anything, or and they're worried about, you know, having to make improvements to it later down the road, that sort of thing?
Yes, that is definitely part of the issue. And also, for a long time, it was the ability not to have the document subject to judicial review. So a declaratory order, in contrast, most of the time, guidance will be fairly prospective and general, whereas a declaratory order is usually issued when a party comes to the agency and says, you know, here are the specific facts of a transaction that we are proposing to undertake, and we want to know and have some certainty about how it's going to be regulated by the agency. And so there are more sort of concrete facts. That's what makes it an adjudication. And it allows the agency to give a kind of binding answer that provides greater certainty and specificity than usually can be provided in a guidance document.
So how, your paper sort of argues that there should be more use of the declaratory orders. How would that help run things more efficiently if, you know, every time they have to be that specific in their regulations and oversight?
Well, it may not be appropriate in all cases. It's appropriate in certain circumstances where the facts are known, where there's maybe a preemptive determination that can be made before a regulated party undertakes a big investment project. And it has a variety of benefits to administrative agencies. By providing something that is binding and gives that kind of certainty, it can help promote voluntary compliance, which actually can save a lot of agency resources in the context of enforcement. And in addition, it can help to ensure that there's uniformity and fairness in treatment of all regulated parties, which in and of itself can also help to save resources. And then finally, it's a way for the agency to get additional communication from regulated parties about issues that are emerging but aren't yet problems, or transactions that are being contemplated but haven't yet come to fruition. So it allows the agency to address emerging issues before they actually become problems. And in addition, it helps keep the agency current and aware of what's going on within the regulated industry. So those are some advantages to agencies. And although a declaratory order may not always be the best solution, in some cases where certainty is really required and where the facts are relatively well known, the agency can achieve some benefits that are not necessarily available with informal guidance.
Are there any specific agencies offhand you can think of that would benefit from using them more often?
Well, really any agency that regulates, in theory, could use a declaratory order. We have had some instances where agencies have had trouble with the courts where they've issued something that was a non-binding guidance document, and then over time it has become a principle that kind of everybody adheres to, and it becomes something that the agency wants to enforce. One advantage of using a declaratory order might be to be able to sort of transfer something that previously has just been non-binding guidance into a requirement that can be enforced in the future. So agencies such as the Department of Transportation have had issues with that, getting into trouble with the D.C. Circuit, and that might be a way to kind of clarify the legal status of norms that maybe are transferring or converting from non-binding norms into enforceable provisions. In addition, you could actually, and this is one of the challenges that the Administrative Conference's Committee on Adjudication had in coming up with a recommendation, because the practice has been relatively limited, there's only so much experience to draw from. And so on the one hand, you want to use what agencies have done in the past to provide concrete guidance to agencies for how to use declaratory orders, and at the same time, you want to encourage innovative uses that maybe haven't been done before. So for example, if there was an agency that does mass adjudications, you could envision a circumstance in which they could use declaratory orders to promote uniformity by choosing to give practical and detailed guidance or make binding decisional law regarding the proper application of existing legal requirements to commonly encountered factual circumstances. So I think one of the primary goals of the Administrative Conference's draft recommendation, and of course this is going to be going before the full assembly of the conference for debate and a vote in December at their plenary session, but one of the goals is to encourage innovation and to sort of encourage agencies to consider how a declaratory order might be a tool worth adding to their usual arsenal.
You said that the courts have started to show a preference towards looking into informal recommendations. Was there any particular reason for that increase, or is there a number that you can give me on how often the courts now are actually looking into just the informal, and like you said, the statements or even just the informal phone calls?
I don't have hard figures, but the general, I think, accepted story is that over the past couple of decades, the informal rulemaking process has become what is known as ossified. There are a lot of requirements that the courts, that the executive, that Congress have placed on agencies in informal rulemaking. And part of the concern is that agencies, because of that trend, have started to use non-binding guidance documents for purposes that traditionally would have been undertaken or served through informal rulemaking. That is, they were avoiding the rulemaking process by using informal guidance. And I think that's one of the reasons why the courts have been more willing to take a hard look at an agency's characterization of a document as non-binding, because they're concerned about evasion of the APA's procedural requirements that are applicable to informal rulemaking. And so there have been a number of cases. There was one before the Supreme Court just last term that have involved challenges to guidance documents. So it's a more kind of general, I think, trend, and one that suggests maybe a decrease in the comparative advantage of informal guidance documents as opposed to declaratory orders.
Now, I imagine that there are certainly situations where informal guidance might actually be preferable just because of whatever the nature the agency is working in. Did you see any examples where, and I know that you said declaratory orders aren't always the best thing, but did you see any examples where, you know, informal guidance probably is the only way to go?
Sure. I mean, for example, the IRS has a very robust system of providing guidance to taxpayers and tax preparers. And I considered some of their devices, such as revenue rulings, as potentially analogous to declaratory orders, but they're not really. And one of the reasons why it maybe wouldn't make sense for them to use a declaratory order device in that context is because they're trying to provide sort of broadly applicable guidance where, you know, they're really kind of conveying generalized advice as opposed to more concrete advice about the application of existing rules to well-known and defined contemplated plans. So in contrast to that, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission regularly uses declaratory orders, and they often use them when regulated parties come to the agency and say, you know, we are considering undertaking a very large investment into a new project, and we want to have some certainty about how you're going to regulate it. And that's a context in which a declaratory order is really quite superior to an informal type of guidance.
Any other part of your research that stuck out to you or you found interesting?
You know, this is just one of those interesting areas of the law where Congress provided a tool that has just been consistently overused, or underused, I'm sorry. And for many, many years, scholars and people within agencies have said, you know, this is a tool that we should be using more frequently. And it's sort of a puzzle as to why not. So one thing that sort of struck me is that, you know, this is an area where agencies maybe can be sort of innovative in using a tool that has been, in theory, in their tool belt for a very, very long time. And I'm very curious to see how agencies might react to the Administrative Conference's recommendation, assuming that it's adopted. I think there's a lot of potential here for new and innovative uses of this very long-held tool.